So here we are in the middle of Matan Torah. In the middle of Matan Torah. You might think that Matan Torah occurs in Parshas Yisro, and if you think that, you would be half correct. The Torah tells much of the story of Matan Torah in Parshas Yisro, but, and then Mishpatim, the beginning of Mishpatim, seems to give the content that follows. Ve'elah Mishpatim la'av bavakam, above Metziah, and Kiddushin. And then, as you dig deeper into the parasha, a little bit of everything. You get kashrus, you get zra'im. But then, towards the end of parasha Mishpatim, we return back to the story of Matan Torah. And the Torah continues. You may have noticed in being Mavra Sedra this past week, there was a phrase that we associate with Matan Torah, a two-word phrase that we associate deeply with Matan Torah that you didn't actually see in Parshas Yisro. We saw Nasa. But where was the Vinishma? Where was the Vinishma? The answer is...
next week.
Parshas Mishpatim. The answer is that the other half of the story of Mamre Har Sinai, of Matan Torah, appears in the end of Mishpatim. And you got to wonder why. The Nasa Vinishma and the Karbanos and the blood and the... bringing Kal Yisrael, Moshe Rabbeinu act by HaKadosh Baruch Hu's command. Moshe Rabbeinu acting as the Shadchan, as the broker, bringing together HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Kal Yisrael in a permanent covenant, in a permanent bris. That's going to happen at the end of Parshas Mishpatim. So right away you wonder why. We are in the midst of Matan Torah, certainly a time, a very matim time to appreciate the gift of Torah. And you also wonder, and that's maybe our first kasha, is why the Torah split the story of Mamre Har Sinai into two? Number one. If we're looking for a key to open this lock, if we're looking for a maftech, to begin to appreciate more of the chashivas HaTorah in general, and specifically to try to understand what's shot that we have two separate stories of Mamre Har Sinai. So a very powerful key might be thinking a little bit about the bracha. Both the Bechlal and the Befrat. Bechlal, in general terms, Birkas HaMitzvahs are important avenues to appreciating what you're doing. And Noj Bihuda is a famous tshuva in Yeridea, Tinyana Chelek Sadi Gimel. It's important historically also. It's the most direct, or one of the most direct responses of the Noj Bihuda to Hasidus. But putting that aside, he was asked about saying L'Shem Yichud before you do a mitzvah. Kabbalistic kavanos for the mitzvah. And the shaila was about one specific nuance. Should you say it like this? Should you say it like that? What's the proper nusach? Noj Bihuda said, let's back up a moment. Who said you should be saying L'Shem Yichud at all? Who says it makes sense to popularize Kabbalah? And then he goes on a lot, many, many moving parts in that tshuva. Maybe some other time we can focus on it. But for now, this key nakuda. He says, don't think that I'm devaluing the significance of spirituality and mitzvahs. Chas v'shal. Adrabba v'adrabba. He says, you're looking for a tool to heighten and sharpen your kavana in advance of the mitzvah. Of course, that's critically important. Says, Chazal were very concerned with that also. That's why they gave us brachas. And he says, the goal of Birkas HaMitzvahs in particular, is to sharpen your awareness of what you're about to do. To focus you, not just to make sure that you're not just sort of going through the motions and tefillin on, tefillin off, and the kelim and the mikvah, and the lulav, and sitzes, and just sort of doing it mindlessly. Kemitzvahs anashim ilumada. Chazal were very concerned that you have a kesher amitz, you have a powerful connection between the maisa mitzvah and the premius of the mitzvah, and that's why, he says, Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, who are the great, great, unbelievably magnificent mekuvalim, invested all of this and so much more into the Birkas HaMitzvahs. He says, you say them carefully, say them thoughtfully, it's a powerful way to supercharge the premius of your mitzvahs. He goes on to say, when you have a mitzvah, every once in a while you have a mitzvah that doesn't have a bracha, he says, my practice is I'll say, Hinni osa mitzvahza mitzvahzu l'shem, what was the exact lashon? Hinni osa davarza l'shem mitzvahz bori. I'm doing this because this is what my Creator commands me to do. So the Rebbe Yehuda tells us that Birkas HaMitzvos are a powerful, powerful tool, a powerful key for appreciating and understanding the significance of mitzvahs bechlal. And then in terms of Birkas HaTorah b'frat, there is a comment of the Ran towards the end of Nedar in Peyalk, the exact Maram Akum appears at the bottom of Maram Kamashi, where the Ran makes a comment that specifically in the world of Limud HaTorah, your learning will be totally different when it's with Birkas HaTorah, based on the Gemara there. Says that you're not going to appreciate the learning, you're not going to realize the significance of your learning at all the same without a Birkas HaTorah. So brachas bechlal for their mitzvahs, and Birkas HaTorah b'frat, apparently is a powerful key for making sense and beginning to appreciate what's going on with the mitzvah, beginning to appreciate the beyond the surface. It seems like it's a good way to a window into appreciating Talmud Torah, the gift of Talmud Torah, more deeply. So let's take a look at two key Gemaras, the more famous one and the less famous one, both Maseches Brachos. Brachos Chaf Aleph Amud Aleph is where we usually our thoughts usually go when you think about the story of Birkas HaTorah b'chlal. A pair of memories. Amr of Yehuda, two dots near the top of Chafal from an Aleph. Amr of Yehuda, Minayin lebirkas haTorah l'acharem in haTorah. How do you know? How do you know that? Minayin lebirkas haMazon l'acharem in haTorah. How do you know that you're supposed to? Minayin usually introduces din d'oraisa. How do you know that you're supposed to say birkas haMazon after you eat? Now how do you know that's a din d'oraisa? Shenemar v'chalta v'savalta v'erachta pasuk in Parshas Ekev. Towards the beginning of Chumash Devar. You eat, you're satisfied, then you have a chiyuv to make a brach, to make a birkas hamazon. Minayin lebirkas haTorah lefaneha min haTorah? Okay, so that's when you eat, so you make a bracha afterwards. That's a din d'oraisa, at least when you eat bread. Kidei sviya. How about if you learn Torah? So then the bracha is in advance, lefaneha, not l'achareha. And how do you know that is a din d'oraisa? Minayin lebirkas haTorah lefaneha min haTorah? Shenemar, a pasuk towards the end of Chumash Devarim, in Ha'azinu, Kishem Hashem Ekra, Havu Godel Lelokeinu. I'm about to call the name of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm about to understand HaKadosh Baruch Hu through learning His Torah. First, in advance of that, Havu Godel Lelokeinu. First, we have to give greatness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu in advance of Limud HaTorah. So the Gemara presents the Amora of Yehuda that there are two brachos d'oraisa. Usually we think of brachos being drabanan, because most brachos are drabanan. The vast majority of brachos are niskanu either by the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, Ezra Beis Dino at the beginning of the second Beis HaMikdash period, or beyond that, some brachos are niskanu afterwards. But there are two brachos, Gemara tells us here, Chafal Fanaf Maseches Brachos, two brachos d'shar d'oraisa, Birkas HaMazon and Birkas HaTorah. Okay. Now, we've been talking a little bit here and there the last couple of weeks that the Gemara at the end of Maseches Makos tells us that there are 613 mitzvahs. Gemara doesn't tell us which they are, which as I think I mentioned the other week, that led to a whole literature, and late Gaonim, early Rishonim in particular, from around the 800s till around the 1200s or so, some of the greatest Talmid Chacham of Kal Yisrael during that period, spent a lot of time trying to figure out, well, which are the 613 mitzvahs? Because after all, as we were saying the other week, there are clearly way more than 613 dinim that apply to Jews. HaKadosh Baruch Hu has more than 613 expectations of us. So clearly not every binding din is a quote-unquote mitzvah. Mitzvah apparently is a specific term, a technical term, and only certain dinim are called mitzvahs. And there are 613 dinim which get the title of mitzvahs. So the question is, well, okay, which ones qualify? I think you mentioned the other week that the Rambam in particular invested a lot of time and energy into this enterprise of figuring out which are the mitzvahs. Very, very misudar. The second chelik of his Sefer HaMitzvahs is the 248 mitzvahs asay. The third chelik is the 365 mitzvahs los asay, leaving the first chelik for the preliminaries. The first chelik are the 14 criteria. The 14 Sharashim, Rabbi says we're not just going to haphazardly just put together a list of 613 dinim, there has to be a seder. There has to be a well-defined term. What does it mean? With a well-defined category, what is a mitzvah? So first he begins with his 14 criteria for which dinim constitute mitzvahs, which not. And then he says, if you apply my system consistently, you'll end up with 613 mitzvahs. And here we go. 248 mitzvahs, I say. 365 mitzvahs, I say. Gevalt. And then the Ramban has running hasagas on the Rambam. And sometimes pick on this and pick on that. You should have based on your rules, you should have counted this. Based on your rules, you should have counted that. And at the end, the very end of the Sefer, he says, I eliminated, Lashitasi, I eliminated many of the Rambam's, many of the things the Rambam counted. But here to be mashlim, here are a whole slew of mitzvahs that the Rambam should have counted but didn't. Ramban is very polite about it. And he says, the mitzvah shashacha harav. The mitzvah the Rambam forgot. He doesn't want to say the Rambam is wrong. Rambam left it out. He says, the Rambam forgot. Derech covered. But he means, mitzvah that the Rambam didn't count but should have. So the Rambam's first rule is a mitzvah means a mitzvah, a din daraisa. Dinim drabbanan are binding, but they're not mitzvos. Rule number two, that a mitzvah is dafka Torah shebichzav. Dim dar Torah shebapeh, something learned from a drasha is absolutely binding, but it's not a mitzvah. Mitzvah means dinim in the chumash. So you look at this gemara, chafal from an alf, and right away you know, two out of the 240 mitzvahs I say are going to be, number one, biksa mazon, number two, biksa Torah. Right? And you look in the Rambam's count, and he definitely does count Birkas HaMazon. Hilchus Brachas opens with this one mitzvah d'arais, and that is Birkas HaMazon. Gevalt. Birkas HaTorah. Nowhere to be found. Crickets. The Rambam never counts the mitzvah Birkas HaTorah. Strange. He doesn't count Hilchus Brachas. He doesn't count Hilchus Talmud Torah. He doesn't ignore Birkas HaTorah, but it's like a detail. It comes up in Hilchas Tefillah of all places. Hilchas Tefillah. It's Hilchas Tefillah, Perek Zayin. He's talking about the Birkas HaShachar. See Halacha Ches, Halacha Tes. He's talking about the Birkas HaShachar. Saying Hamab Malbish Arumim, Shasi Soli Kaltsarki, so on and so forth. And then he says, Halacha Yud, you get up early to learn, you say Birkas HaTorah. Really? Like a detail in Birkas HaShachar. Really? What happened to the mitzvah d'oraisa? Psukim and Chumash. Nothing. The Ramban attacks him. The Ramban says to the Rambam, excuse me, what happened to Birkas HaTorah? You should have counted Birkas HaTorah. Sorry you don't have the Ramban in front of you, but you do have the Maramakim if you want to look up later. See, it's mitzvah 15, mitzvah Kesvav, in the mitzvah the Rambam, quote-unquote, forgot. So the Ramban says, Ma pitom. The Gemara says, Befer Shabbos, Kishem Hashem, Akov, Abod, Lokeinu. I'll put a sharp case. How could the Rambam leave it out? So Kasha number one, why does the Chumash divide the story of Mamre Har Sinai into the Yisro part and the Mishpatim part? Kasha number two is, how does the Rambam ignore a mitzvah? How could the Rambam not count Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah d'oraisa, the same way he counts Birkas HaMazon? He does count Birkas HaMazon as a mitzvah d'oraisa. The Gemara Chav, if you continue the Gemara Chav Alf, it seems to put them on absolutely equal footing. The Gemara says, maybe I should have made a Kal V'chomer from Birkas HaTorah to Birkas HaMazon, from Birkas HaMazon to Birkas HaTorah. Maybe I should use Birkas HaMazon to extend Birkas HaTorah to afterwards also. I should use Birkas HaTorah to extend Birkas HaMazon to beforehand also. We do make brachas before we eat, but that's drabanan. Why? I should have learned from Birkas HaTorah to have a bracha with panam, food also. The Gemara very clearly on Daf Chafal from an Aleph equates Birkas HaTorah and Birkas HaMazon. They're an absolutely equal footing. But you get the Rambam, zero. Strange. Hallow davar. So that's kasha number two. How could it be the Rambam didn't count it? What I'd love to do now is leave you with three additional kashas. And you'll have the afternoon and evening to try to work on it, and then we'll come back maybe tomorrow morning to try to put the pieces together. So again, one kasha is, Mamar Har Sinai is divided into two separate presentations. Why not just put all the pieces in one? Number two, the mitzvah. The Gemara in Daf Chaf Aleph could not have been clearer that Birkas HaTorah fulfills all the Rambam, seems to fulfill all the Rambam's criteria. The Din Darais is a pasuk in Chumash. It's a mitzvah doris, it's not Harah Hashav. Why wasn't it counted? And the Rabban says, it'd be a beautiful mitzvah. Before HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us the gift, Ramban writes, the gift of guidance for how to live life well, how to be zochet olam haba, we have the opportunity and the obligation, we have the pleasant obligation to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu for that gift before we engage in that gift. That is, Ramban writes very poetically, the mitzvah d'oraisa of Birkas HaTorah. And he says, look in the third paragraph of Brachos Daf Chaf Aleph, it's right over there. Clearly, that's not the Rabbanan. Clearly, the right. It's clearly based on Pasuk and Chumash. What's not to like? The Rambam does, as we mentioned, he does mention Birkas HaTorah. Which Gemara does he quote in the two halachas? All of Birkas HaTorah is two halachas in Hilchos Tefillah. Halach Yud, Halach Yidal. Which Gemara is he quoting? You know, right? So let's take a look at that Gemara. That is also shocking. There's the Gemara itself is shocking, but it's maybe a chesar in us. Right? The Gemara opens. We're not going to focus on the right now, but usually if we're talking about Birkas HaTorah, you should be aware of the opening piece of the Gemara. The Gemara says, Hishkim, Amar Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Hishkim, Lishnos, Achlo, Kar, Kriyashma, Tzarech, Levarech, Mishakar, Kriyashma, Ein, Tzarech, Levarech, Shekvar, Niftar, Yahava Rabba. Now Shmuel, you can quote Shmuel, that if you're getting up to learn before davening, before Shacharis, you gotta say Birkas HaTorah. If you're only gonna learn after Shacharis, if you didn't say Birkas HaTorah before Shacharis, so you're Yotze with Ava Rabba, with Ava Sol. We've already had for the Nusach Sfarad Ashkenaz, already earlier in Yudalfam Bez had a discussion about what's the proper Nusach HaBracha. Whatever that Bracha is, the second Bracha on Kriya Shema Shal Shacharis, so the Gemara, the Bavli here says that it can serve as an alternative Birkas HaTorah. You didn't say Birkas HaTorah early in the morning, but you daven Shacharis, which included Ava Rabba, Avos Olam. So then that's gonna count as your Birkas HaTorah. You see, there's a long. We're not gonna focus on that right now. I want to focus on the second half of the Gemara. You see, there's a long, long Tosis here. Shekvar Niftar. Tosis gets involved in it. You know, is that really true? Is that always true? Tosas raised the possibility that this is not the main Birkas HaTorah. It's what we call Birkas HaTorah. Ava Rabba is sort of the backup. And maybe Tosas raised the question of, what if there's Yerushalmi? What if you didn't learn right away? How does it work? You come back to night Seder, you don't make a new bracha. You make a new bracha on your food when you eat supper. And you make a new Al Tzilas Yadayim on washing your hands if you're washing for supper, even though you washed in the morning. So why don't we do this for Birkas HaTorah also? I'm sure many of you are familiar with Yitzhak Cohen's Musar Shmuz about three tefillahs and three meals and three star. Right? Three star a day. Three star a day. So you make a new bracha for lunch and for supper. How come you don't make a new bracha for afternoon Seder or night Seder? Good question. Tosis deals with it. Not for right now. But if you're interested, that's the long Tosis you'd all from bits. But as I said, I want to focus right now on this latter half of the Gemara. Not the question of the relationship between Birkas HaTorah and Ava Rabba, but the question of different parts of Torah. Which, if I would have asked you before morning Seder this morning, before you saw this Gemara, now do you say Birkas HaTorah and learn Gemara? You're looking at me funny. Like, well, yeah. Well, it's like a trick question. It actually is a trick question. Gemara, actually, the answer is, well, it depends who you ask. The answer is, according to our Gerson of the Gemara, 75% of Amoraim that were surveyed said no. Most Amoraim that the Gemara mentions here, how often do you even see a four-way machlokas? Very rare. Three out of the four shitas hold that you do not make a Birkas HaTorah before you learn Gemara. That itself is already shocking. Let's take a look. So again, the Rif has a somewhat different girsa, but we're working with our girsa. The first day is Rav Huna. You only make a Birkas HaTahara in Mikra, but not on Medrash. Rashi explains, Medrash is Tarshu HaPeh, arranged on Seir HaPesukim. And the first day is you only make a Birkas HaTahara in Tanakh. The second day, that's Rav Huna. Rav Elazar is the second day, that's Rav Elazar the Amora, not Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas the Tana. It's Rav Elazar, Rav Elazar the Amora. He was, I believe, a Talmud of Yochanan. He says, L'mikra ula medrash tarchuvar, but not Mishnah. So the first Tana says only Tanakh. The second Tana says, the first Amora says only Tanakh, Rav Huna. Second Amora, Rav Elazar says Tanakh and also Medrash. The third Amora of Yochanan says, Mikra, Medrash, and even Mishnah, but not Talmud. And finally, our gear says, Rava says, even Talmud. So you have all four opinions. Just Mikra, Mikra, Medrash, Mikra, Medrash, and Mishnah, Mikra, Medrash, Mishnah, and Gemara. So three out of the four Amoraim hold there's no Birkas HaTorah on Gemara. Which is surprising to us, especially if you've never even heard of it. What does it even mean? And what's it all about? So Rashi keeps explaining what's the issue, like what's the bir advar? Why this yes and this no? What Rashi keeps saying? Right? Tanakh. Basically, you make a bracha on Tanakh. The second day you hold Medrash is also Tarash Shapeh arranged on Seder al Tanakh. So it's a Tanakh expanded. This is also like learning Tanakh. And then Rashi says the third day Rabbi Yochanan. Mishnah is also. Rashi says, Rashi doesn't comment. Rabbeinu Yonah says, here you have Rabbeinu Yonah, you're on Brachos, on the side of the Rif, instead of having Ran or Namuka Yosef, you have Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah. The Tamid Rabbeinu Yonah, or it's often just called Rabbeinu Yonah, he says, here, hey, I'm a base of a Rif. In the beginning of the wide lines, Rav Yochanan says, the Mishnah Tzarech Levarech says, Mishnah also explains the Psukim. And then how about Rava, the fourth opinion? So Ben Yonah says, also, Gemara also explains Psukim. It's actually surprising. I would have thought there's more Psukim, there's more Pasuk density in Gemara than Mishnah is, but okay. That's what the Gemara seems to say. So it sounds like it's a question. You're making a Birkas HaTorah on Tanakh. The question is, how much of the Torah Shapeh is closely enough connected to Tanakh that it can also get a Birkas HaTorah? That is intriguing. A little surprising. Tanakh is part of Torah. All jokes aside, the Torah Shapeh is part of Torah. So what? Why does Torah Shapeh have to prove itself? Well, I'm connected to Tanakh. He said, Brachan Tanakh, the Brachan Torah. What's going on? And then, take a look at the Rambam. Take a look at the Rambam. What does Rambam say? The Rambam says, Halach Yud, Hamashkim Likro Batorah. Kodim Shiyikra Kriyashma, I'm going to learn even before Shachar is. You have to say Birkas HaTorah. How does he put it? Bein Kar B'Torah Shebichsav, Bein Kar B'Torah Shebapeh. Well, regardless of whether you're learning Torah Shebichsav or Torah Shebapeh, you have to say the following three brachas. So which opinion is the Rambam adopting? Which opinion on Rambam is he passing on? Right. Rambam, the third one. The fourth opinion. Even Gemara. And why? How does he understand the Hezber? Well, take a look at Rashi. Take a look back at Rashi in the Gemara Yud Aleph on the days. After the Gemara Tzarech Levarech, says Rashi, Shehu Iker HaTorah, Shemimenu Hora'a Yotza. You have to make a bracha on Gemara because that's the core of Torah, because Horah, Psak Halacha, the highest level is knowing a Sukkah Shmait Leib, the Hilchasa, that's only going to flow from learning Gemara. So So Rav Zsolti points down his Mishnah Yavetz, Rav Tzal Zsolti. I think we quoted him like a month or two ago. I told you, you may not have heard of him, he's Rav Yerushalayim. What? Chanukah, right. Yes. Remember I told you then that you may not have heard of him, but you heard, he was Rosh Kolol, and you've heard of a couple of the Yungalites who learned his Kolol, like Shlomo Zalman Orbach and Ovadi Yosef and Yosef Shamal Yasher, which is what their names were when they were young guys, young married guys learning Rav Zsolti's Kolol, publishing articles in the Torah Journal. So it gives you a sense of who, yeah. So I think I told the time that we have three volumes of Mishnas Yavetz, Or Chaim, Yordei, and Choshen Mishpat. And the Or Chaim volume is all Moedim because it's Shi'urim that he gave in Yerushalayim, public Shi'urim he gave Yerushalayim, you know, during and before various Yom Tovim. So it's Chanukah time we discuss one of the Chanukah Shi'urim. Shavuos, what do you talk about Shavuos? Over the years, he found different Shavuos-related topics to talk about. So one year he spoke about Birkas HaTorah. So he points out, here, if you want to see inside, I'll put it at the bottom. The bottom of the Marma comes. See, it's Mishnas Yavetz Or Chaim Siman Lamed Alf. Beautiful piece. And he says, what's Takap Shat? He says, B'chalsa, a funny Gemara. A funny Gemara that... The Tanakh, yes, no, Gemara, maybe. And then he points out, you look at Rashi. Rashi is very different from Ben Yonah. Right? Ben Yonah was saying that all the Ta'amaron basically agree that it's about Tanakh. Why? We're not sure. That's question number one. But somehow, according to Ben Yonah, everyone agrees it's basically about Tanakh. And Rava is just the next step. Even this is Tanakh. And even it's just a question of the details. Everyone agrees in principle. Be so that everyone agrees. Like a question of Shi'urim. How far can you push and say, this is also still Tanakh connected? But for Rashi, he points out, for Rashi, Rava is disagreeing fundamentally. It's not just a question of, you know, moving the dial one notch further. Rava is disagreeing fundamentally. Because Rav is saying, it's not about Tanakh at all. It's about learning. Rashi doesn't say, well, even Gemara is Tanakh connected. No. Gemara, because that's the Ikar of Limud Torah. That's core learning. Because Hora'ah can only come once you have not only Tanakh and Mishnah, but Gemara. So, he points out that for Rashi, there's a fundamental machlokas amaron. Whether you say Birkas Torah on Tanakh, or maybe Tanakh expanded, or you make a Birkas Torah on learning. In which case, Gemara is certainly at least as included as any other part of Limud HaTorah. And then you look, I don't remember if he makes this, he definitely makes the point about Rashi versus Ben Yonah. I do not recall whether he talks about the Rambam also. And then you look back at the Rambam, so would you say the Rambam is aligned with Rashi or with Ben Yonah? You would say Ben Yonah? Why?
Because why is not about that?
Okay, good. So he is talking about Tarshu Bechzav, Tarshu Pen, Tarshu Bechzav. Good. But how is he presenting Tarshu Pen? Ben Tarshu Bechzav, Ben Tarshu Pen. So it doesn't seem as though he's saying, this is also really Tarshu Bechzav. Say, no, all of Talmud Torah. Why is he making the point, bein this, bein that? Probably because there were Amorim who disagreed. He's trying to make the point that all of Torah is included, both Tarshu Bechzav and Tarshu Peh, but it sounds like, offhand, you could debate this some more, it sounds like it's on equal footing. So offhand, I would think, it sounds like the Rambam is aligned with Rashi. Learning Torah, Tarshu Bechzav, Tarshu Peh. There were other opinions who limited it. We don't limit it. So this is kasha number three. If kasha number one was, why is the story of Mamre Har Sinai divided into two in the Chumash? And kasha number two is, why does the Rambam seem to be ignoring the Gemara Brachas Chaf Aleph? He's quoting plenty of Brachas Yud Aleph. He seems to be entirely ignoring Brachas Chaf Aleph. Particularly, he didn't count Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah, which Ramban already attacks him for. Even when you get to the Gemara Brachas Yud Aleph, so it's intriguing and strange and requires Tzarech Bir Gadol. We understand Rava, Lefi, Rashi, and the Rambam. That Birkas HaTorah is on learning. Doesn't matter. Tar Shuchzab, Tar Shapeh, Gemara, Medrash. It's all learning. But the other three Shitos, that is Tanakh connected, and even Rava, according to Ben Yonah, that Rabbi Ben Yonah thought even Rava is Tanakh connected. Tzarech Bir Gadol. Well, why? Why would Birkas HaTorah be uniquely on Torah Shebichtav, or Torah Shebichtav defined more broadly? And finally, a double machlokas, the Shulchan Aruch and the Gra. I told you I'd leave the total of 5 questions. So far I spoke about 3. I told you 2, and then another 3. So we had so far the added one more, and that is trying to understand the Gemara Yud Aleph. And finally, 2 difficult psakim of the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch, the Torah Shulchan Aruch, devote Simon Mem Zayin of Arachayim to the Halachas of Birkas HaTorah. Arachayim is organized, as we've seen earlier in the year, chronologically. 3 chronological cycles. You have the daily cycle, the weekly cycle, and the yearly cycle. So the third chelik of Arachayim takes you through the yearly cycle. Pesach and Shavuos, a little sphere. So Omer and Shavuos, and Taniyos and Rosh Hashanah, and so on and so forth. The middle of Aruch Chaim Chelek Beis takes you through the weekly cycle, obviously, Hilcha Shabbos, and everything before and after that. The first third of Aruch Chaim is the daily cycle. Waking up in the morning, if you ever start learning Mishnah Berurah from the beginning, right? It's waking up in the morning, it takes you through Tehillat Seidai, Masha Yatzar, saying Brachas, Tzitzis, Tefillin, Davin Shacharis, going to work, making time to learn, to saying Brachas on food, Mincha, Marv, and so forth. So here in Siman, it's all chronological. So here we are in the beginning, in the daily cycle. Siman Mem Zayin is halachas of Birkas HaTorah. So there's a psak of the Shulchan Aruch in Sif Dalet and a psak in Sif Yud Dalet, and both of them are shocking. In Sif Dalet, Sif Gimel, Sif Dalet, talking about in what modality, what behaviors are you doing with your learning? Hakosev v'divrei Torah fisheino korei tzarech levarach. Sif Gimel, Shulchan Aruch says, even if you're not verbalizing your learning, but you're writing it, you get up early before Shacharis, and you're rewriting your Rishio notes, you get up early before Shacharis, you work on an article of Pirkei Yitzchak, you get up early before Shacharis, you're learning, and you're summarizing what you're learning, your 3 major points in each Amud, you're into that style of Chazara. If you're writing Divrei Torah, whether you're speaking the Divrei Torah or you're writing the Divrei Torah, either way, Tzarech Levarach. However you're expressing and communicating the Divrei Torah requires a Birkas HaTorah. However, Siv Dalet, Shulchan Aruch says, HaMaharher b'Divrei Torah, if you're thinking and learning, but neither speaking nor writing, then Eino Tzarech Levarach. Then there's no need for a Birkas HaTorah, because you're not expressing it. And the Ramah goes on to say, who I did Yachol if soaked in below Nisnas Tam Ledvarv. A Rav is walking into Shacharis. He didn't make Birkas HaTorah yet. And someone asks him a shayla. So does he have to say, excuse me, let me make Birkas HaTorah, then I'll answer you? Ramah says no. Ramah says no, unless you want to explain yourself. If you just want to say, Asr Mutter, yes, no, fine. If you're going to start explaining yourself, so then you're ready. You're speaking Divrei Torah. That requires a Birkas HaTorah. But and obviously, one hopes that the posek is thinking. He's not just shooting from the hip. He's listening to your shayla. He's thinking, whether he's thinking for an extended period of time briefly, but obviously he's thinking about it. He's maharef with Divrei Torah. But he's not articulating or verbalizing his reasoning, he's just saying, Aser Mutter, Chayav Pater, that's not speaking Divrei Torah. Practically speaking, if I'm going to listen to a shir on earbuds on the way to Shacharis, or I'm going to go to a live shir, but I'm not an active participant. Some people speak up a lot, some ask a lot of questions, and some people just are actively thinking, but not actively speaking. They come to the shir and they're listening carefully, but not writing notes and not speaking up. So, Mechaber Ramah say, there's no need for Birkas HaTorah unless you're speaking and learning. And the Gruff says, why on earth would that be true? So I don't understand. You mean it's Bittul Torah? Anyone here who is not speaking up is just wasting their time. You could be grilling. Really? I hope not. If thinking and learning, the Gra, take a look at the Gra on the bottom page of the Bira Gra. He says, why on earth would that be true? And the last line in Sif Dalet. He says, "Kol zeh tzarichin." I don't understand this. It's true that the Gemara has a debate about whether hear her kedibur or hear her lav kedibur dami. It's true that we are talking about a mitzvah that needs to be done verbally, like Kriya Shema or Birkas Hamazon. So then there's a shaila. Let's say I'm not speaking or I'm unable to speak because of some halachic consideration, because of some physical consideration. If the fellow is having surgery on his vocal cords and he's unable to speak. The doctor said for the next week you can only say 100 words a day. There's no way he's getting all of Birkas Hamazon in 100 words a day. So that's a shaila. Can I be yotzei, a verbal mitzvah, by thinking about the words one by one in my head rather than speaking? So that's an open discussion that Gemara has. And okay, maybe we paskin hear lav kedibur dami. But the Gra says, but that's irrelevant. Hear kedibur dami is a question of when I have a halacha that requires speech, does thought count as speech or does thought not count as speech? So it may well be that thought and speech are not the same, but that is irrelevant here. This isn't kriyashma, this isn't Birkas Hamazon, this isn't halal. This isn't the mitzvah of saying words of Torah. Kol zeh, says the Gra, sarachim, kama bracha la mitzvah. It's not a bracha on saying words of Torah, it's a bracha on the mitzvah of learning Torah. The chileka, the second wide line, the chileka mitzvah behirer, do you believe for a moment that you are not being mekayim Talmud Torah because I'm the only one who's speaking? Because you're merely, quote-unquote, thinking? He says, I'll prove it to you. What's the one of the most famous articulations, formulations, the mitzvah of Talmud Torah appears at the beginning of Sefer Yehoshua, the Haggis of Yom V'Laila, to be hoge b'Torah day and night. Hoge. What does hoge mean? Higayon. Higayon is thought. Hegyon Levi, as we say at the end of every Shmon Esrei. Hegyon Levi. Higayon doesn't have to be with your mouth. The Gra says, I don't understand what you're so talking about. What? Just like we didn't understand why most Amoraim, and according to Ben Yonah, all Amoraim, limit Birkas HaTorah to just Tanakh, defined more or less broadly. The Gra struggles to understand why the Shulchan Aruch limit Birkas HaTorah to just spoken or written, expressed Torah. And how about if you're thinking? The Gra, Shulchan Aruch certainly didn't think that the Bittul Torah to think and learn quietly, to listen to a shir, to learn a sefer without speaking. There's definitely value to speaking, to reading the words out loud as you learn a sefer. There's definitely value to speaking up. And don't be the chavrus who always just listens and never reads. True. Again, maybe every situation is different. But in general, yes, there's certainly value in your learning on a lot of levels to being active. But you're not going to say that when I'm listening, I'm being mevatel Torah. Really? I should fight with my chavrus who's going to read. Because if he reads, then I'm being mevatel Torah. Of course it's false. So then why isn't there Birkas HaTorah? And finally, one more kasha. Kasha number one was, why is Mamad Har Sinai divided into two separate stories? Kasha number two is, why does the Rambam ignore Brachas Chafalv and not count Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah? Isn't it a daraisa with a pasuk? Kasha number three is going back to Yudalf. What does it going to mean? Why does this limitation, according to most Amoraim, according to most Rishonim, of Birkas HaTorah dafka to Tanakh? Number four is the Mechaber and Siv, and the Rambam both, and Siv Dalet, limit Birkas HaTorah to when it's written or spoken, but not thought. And the Gra cannot understand why. It's still a mitzvah Talmud Torah. The main mitzvah Talmud Torah is the thought. The speech, even when you're speaking, it's just a further expression of what's going on inside your mind. And finally, is the Kasha of women. What's the Kasha of women? The Mechaber says, the last Sif. I'm sorry?
You're muted.
I'm muted. Okay. Better?
Yeah.
Take it away. So it's Sneastick. I said women and they muted me. It's a very strong filter you have. Well, I'm a fan of good filtering, but that's a little that's mahajan. That's really mahajan. Wow. Yes. Noshim, here we are again. The last sif. The last sif from Mem Zayin. The last sif from Mem Zayin. Sif Yudalit. Noshim Evarchas Birkas HaTorah. Mechaber says, women recite Birkas HaTorah. If a woman plans to learn Torah today, she should say Birkas HaTorah. What's surprising about that? Here's what's shocking about that. Specifically because it's the Shulchan Aruch. And the Gra says, I agree with the Shulchan Aruch, but he shouldn't have said it. I agree with him, but I disagree with him agreeing with me. How could that be? How could that be? Yeah?
No, I have a different question. Wouldn't it make sense that women have to say it because isn't don't they all agree that they have to say it on Tanakh anyway?
Good. So Yael points out there certainly is a mitzvah of Talmud Torah for women as well, and we could discuss beyond the ken of our discussion right now, a good conversation for this Thursday night, about the extent and the expanse of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You point out the focus on Tanakh, perhaps aligns us somewhat. Women don't have a daily obligation to learn Torah the way men do. Women also are not obligated to shake lulav on sukkahs or to eat in sukkah. Min haTorah women are not chayavos to hear shofar and Rosh Hashanah. It's a very, very ancient minhag, over 1,000 years, that women accept upon themselves ki'ilu an obligation of tkiyah shofar. That's not a din d'oraisa, that's not a din d'rabbanan. The Gemara says there's a notion of eina mitzuva v'yosa, that one could often, not always, but often one can volunteer to keep a mitzvah that one is not obligated. It's not always the case. So for instance, a nazir is an interesting example. Or let's say, if you're not a kohen, you can't volunteer to duchen. That A is no kiyum, and it might even be an iser. Right? It doesn't, not every limited mitzvah lends itself to people not included volunteering, but many do. And specifically those examples that I gave of women volunteering for shofar, sukkah, lulav, and Talmud Torah. Now, what happens on sukkahs if a woman decides to volunteer to shake lulav? I'm sure many of you know many, many women who shake lulav on sukkahs. So what happens right before them? She shakes lulav?
Blessing.
Ah, so that depends on the Ashkenazi or Sephardi. So the Ramah quotes the Balei HaTosfos, Rabbeinu Tam, and others, that woman is not mechuyevus to do a mitzvah that she's not mechuyevus in. If she volunteers a mitzvah, if she chooses to volunteer that mitzvah, so then she can and probably must say a birkas mitzvah. There's a din d'rabbanan before many mitzvahs. You're mechuyev to precede the mitzvah of birkas mitzvah. If she's volunteering to shake lulav, she better make sure to say a bracha first. She's volunteering to eat in the sukkah, she better make sure to say a bracha first. She wasn't mechuyev to do the ma'aseh mitzvah at all, but if she is doing the ma'aseh mitzvah, it has to be preceded by a birkas mitzvah. That's the approach. That's the Ashkenazi approach. Rabbeinu Tam Tosfos Ramah. The Mechaber, the Shulchan Aruch, quotes from the Rambam, disagreeing entirely. He says, if a woman wants to volunteer shofar sukkah lulav, kevalu, but there's no bracha. Bracha is only when you're obligated. Vitzivanu. If you're volunteering to do a mitzvah, so that's beautiful. So eina mitzvah v'yosa, but there is no birkas hamitzvah. With that in mind, now look again at the Shulchan Aruch. As is so often the case, when you see something with more context, often you have to have more context. Divrei Torah, Niv Makam Echad, Vashir Makam Echad. You just look at this one line in Simon Mem Zayin. Mechaber doesn't seem very surprising or exciting. I did. Nashor Varchas Birkas HaTorah. But if you look at it in the context of, he writes, for instance, in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, and that's how the Gra looks at it. The Gra gets involved in multiple issues. Gra gets involved in one issue. He gets involved is to what extent should women be involved in Limud Torah? He quotes some of the discussion about that, and then he says, anyhow, this line that the Mechaber is quoting, if you take a look at the Be'er HaGola, who I believe was the Gra's great grandfather, who gives you the very, very brief footnotes on the Shulchan Aruch, telling you where things come from, you see the little teeny tiny letter Kuf right before Nashim. Sends it to the Be'er HaGola. Agur b'shem Mari Mulin. The Og is one of the late Ashkenazi Rishonim who wrote like a Kitzur Halacha. Like an Ashkenazi Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. So the Augur says, if a woman chooses to learn, she should say Birkas HaTorah. So the girl says, yeah, of course, that's the Augur. He was an Ashkenazi. So he said, a woman's volunteer, same as Shofar, same as Sukkah, same as Lulav. She's volunteering mitzvah. She should make a bracha. But the problem is, that's not the Mechaber. Why did the Mechaber quote it? The Mechaber wrote in Hilchos Rosh Hashanah that if a woman wants to listen to Shofar, that's Gevaldik. But if I'm going to come home, if my wife couldn't get out to shul, I'm going to come home and blow a shofar for my wife. But if you're Sephardi, there's no bracha. So why is over there, if the approach of the Mechaber is that when you volunteer mitzvah, there is no Berakas HaTorah, how come all of a sudden over here, Nashim Mevarachah is Berakas HaTorah? So in summation, five kashas. The story of Mamre Har Sinai appears in two separate sections, Yisroel Mishpatim, why? Number two, the Rambam seems to ignore Brachos Chaf Aleph, does not count Birkas HaTorah as a mitzvah, doesn't even put it centrally. It's sort of a detail, a footnote, tucked away in the halachas of Birkas HaShachar deep into Hilchos Tefillah. Why? Number three, the whole discussion of Daf Yud Aleph, according to most Amoraim, according to some Rishonim, all Amoraim, Birkas HaTorah is really limited fundamentally to only to Torah Shebichsav. Why? Number four, the Mechav Ramah limit. Birkas HaTorah only to Torah when it's spoken or written, but not when it's thought. Even though thinking is the main address, that's the locus of where Limud Torah is really happening. Why? And finally, the Mechaber limits Birkas HaTorah by Hirur. He expands it, surprisingly, by women, when contrary to the way he usually assumes. Here he says if a woman is going to volunteer Limud HaTorah, she should be making Birkas HaTorah as well. Five kashas, five things to think about. There is something afoot with the Birkas HaTorah. Perhaps there's something more to Birkas HaTorah than just the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. That's something to think about extensively over the course of today. What is there in Birkas HaTorah beyond the mitzvah that might explain why there's a second parsha of Mamre Har Sinai, that might explain why there's a different way of looking at Birkas HaTorah other than the position of Brachas Chaf Aleph, that might explain why Birkas HaTorah might be limited, potentially, to Torah Shebichsav, limited to when you are actively involved, and at the same time, it's more than just a mitzvah, and therefore anyone who even volunteers to be involved needs to make the Birkas HaTorah to more fully appreciate this other aspect of Birkas HaTorah. What is that other aspect other than mitzvah? That's something to think about. We'll pick up Mitzvah next time. Shavu Yashikai.